is MSU Today on Impact Radio and Spartan Podcast. Here's Russ White.
From book to web, some of the world's rarest religious documents will soon be available to anyone, anywhere, thanks to work provided by a Michigan State University research center. Using a National Endowment for the Humanities grant, MSU's Writing in Digital Environments Research Center, or WIDE, will digitize 20 pages from two of the MSU library's three Israelite Samaritan Pentateuchs, written more than 500 years ago in Egypt and Syria. A Pentateuch, known to Jews as the Torah, or the first three sections of the Hebrew Bible, is also known to Christians as the first five books of the Old Testament. The Pentateuchs are part of MSU's Chamberlain Warren Collection, which is considered the largest collection of Samaritan material in the Western Hemisphere. The collection is housed in MSU Library Special Collections. Peter Berg is head of Special Collections for MSU Libraries.
Well, first off, it's very important because of the age of some of the items in the Samaritan Collection, going back to the really the middle of the 15th century. These are three Pentateuchs, the first five books of the Old Testament, and their importance is for biblical scholarship. There is a desire to go as back as far as possible in history to determine the original writings of the Bible, and the Samaritan Pentateuch can provide some interesting information and insight and for biblical scholarship.
Berg says the story of how the scrolls came to MSU in the first place is an interesting story.
The collection of the Samaritan materials, which is now here, was the result of an individual who lived in Three Oaks, Michigan, in the late 19th century, early 20th century, named E.K. Warren, who was a wealthy businessman, but more importantly was very interested in the World Sunday School Association movement. And because of that, he took a trip to the Holy Land in the late 19th century and became quite enamored with the Samaritans and what he considered to be their plight. He became friends with some of them. They worked with his association. And in those dealings, he found that they had many wonderful books that they were willing to sell to him to gain money to help with their economic problems. E.K. Warren was willing to do this with the understanding that once the Samaritans could get themselves so-called back on their feet, they would be able to buy the material back so that it could go back to Palestine and the Holy Lands. That never happened, and so the material was all shipped to a museum that E.K. Warren had established in Three Oaks, Michigan. In 1950, upon his death, the entire museum, including a wonderful watch and clock collection, was transferred to Michigan State. I'm not exactly sure what the relationship was, but I'm assuming it was the friendship between E.K. Warren and John Hanna. So the material came to East Lansing, to the MSU Museum, at that time Michigan State College. And they didn't quite know what to do with the Samaritan collection. In fact, they called some other universities and some libraries asking if they might wish to have this material, given its historical importance, and make greater use of it. Nobody really took them up on that, so it went over into a storage area underneath the stadium where the museum had put some of their material until it could be processed. Then in 1968, when they got around to processing it, lo and behold, Robert Anderson was a newly appointed religious studies professor on campus who could read a Samaritan, one of the few people in the world who could do that. So there is that wonderful serendipity that came together. Here was this collection that really represented the largest collection of Samaritan materials in the United States and one of the largest in the world. And here was Robert Anderson, a young, energetic assistant professor who could speak the language and understand the Samaritans. So he made a lifetime career out of studying this, and over time, the material was brought to university archives and historical collections, and then when they left the library to move to Conrad Hall, the material came to special collections where we had a vault that was high security where the material could go and where it sits today. We have since inventoried all of it. We have cataloged it, and it is available in special collections for other people to use. But best of all, because of this project with the WIDE Center at MSU, We hope, if all goes well and if the story has a truly happy ending, that it will all be digitized and put on the World Wide Web so that literally the entire world will have access to this material that for the time that it's spent in East Lansing anyway, most of it was underneath MSU Spartan Stadium.
Jim Rodolfo is a PhD candidate in rhetoric and writing and co-PI on the project.
What we're doing is we're taking these scrolls and we're scanning them in digitally, which has been pretty traditional so far of digitization projects to date. But the part that WIDE does and the part that I'm working extensively on is to make these archives not just available for people to access, but available for people to interact with. And we're thinking of it as what's called Archive 2.0, a place where scholars and community members, community stakeholders can come to a digital space and not just download or transfer material, but also interact with the scrolls. We're setting up a system by which people can tag areas of the scrolls. And it's really going to be a place where scholarship and sharing information can actually take place. Aside from just making it available to download, digitization in our capacity also means making a system by which folks can interact with the scrolls in a new and different way online. So the same way that the same capabilities that we see scholars having in the past of going to archives and interacting with scrolls in a very set, fixed environment, we want to open that up and make that available globally so folks can, you know, all across the world collaborate in a single environment on an archive that hasn't been accessible in the past.
Bill Hart Davidson leads the WIDE Center, and he's the other co-PI on the project. Hart Davidson says the real goal of the project is to create a revolutionary digital archive, or Archive 2.0.
We have in this, as scholars interested in writing in digital environments, we have in this something of an ideal laboratory for understanding how can a digital archive do something that a paper archive with boxes and locked cabinets and stacks that, you know, maintain humidity and all of that, but at the same time keep people out. How can a new version of an archive let people back in? So the Archive 2.0 is about reimagining what is possible when an archive isn't just a room with temperature control, but is a space where people can have access to these materials. We preserve them in a way that makes sure they endure, but we also permit people to access them. We often say these documents are places where communities come together, right? In a traditional archive, in Archive 1.0, that's very difficult to do. You have to make an appointment with Peter to come together around this document. But we're trying to restore that capacity. And we don't mean that sort of figuratively. These documents have a place in their community context, literally where people bring the documents in physical proximity with other people. They have ceremonies around the documents. It's part of their cultural text. We do this in any culture. The Bible lays there on the altar, but there's activity going on around that document, right? These documents, by virtue of where they sit, can't be the center of cultural activity. And the sad thing about the archival model that we're trying to revise here is that we give the rationale for that is that to preserve culture, to preserve what is valuable about these documents, we must simultaneously abstract them from the culture that has a stake in them. We have to protect culture by keeping it from being cultural. We think that the digital age holds promise for restoring that earlier model where you can interact with. These documents can be living artifacts in the community, and we can still preserve the physical editions in the way that make sure that they will exist as well.
Since a goal of the project is to assist the existing Samaritan community, WIDE sought the assistance of Benjamin Sadaka, a Samaritan elder living in Holon, Israel. He's the director of the A.B. Samaritan Institute in Holon.
Very important project they are doing here, because it will be a great contribution to the world culture. Of course, it will be used by the Samaritans, but my main interest, and I believe that this is the main interest of the project, to expose the Samaritan Pentateuch with its specialty to the whole world. For the first time in the history, will be English translation of the Samaritan version that not only, in my opinion, but opinion of many other scholars, this is one of the earliest texts of the Torah, of the five books of Moses. So the project that made now by, or in process of making by the MSU, Michigan State University, it is a precedent, never been done like that, to show one of the most special collections of Samaritan manuscripts in America.
A prototype of the online archive should be completed by May. If the pilot is successful, Wide hopes to receive additional funds to fully digitize the three Pentateuchs.
The importance of it is this material, a lot of it has survived the ages, and it was so important to a people, and for whatever reasons, they lost this material. Fortunately, because of a wealthy businessman who took an interest in it, and then a university library that took on the responsibility of providing a home for it, and cataloging it, and now making it accessible, it can be available to literally the world, we hope, so that they can benefit from the scholarship learned in these ancient materials that can tell us so much about the Bible and the early history of Palestine and the people who inhabited the Holy Land.
For more information, visit MSU's Sacred Samaritan Text Special Report at news.msu.edu. And I'm Russ White for MSU Today on Impact Radio and Spartan Podcast, and we're online at msutoday.com.
The future of radio is 88.9 FM, The Impact.